Friends together and say this was our Father, in the name of Jesus, this evening we receive your word in its meekness and in its simplicity. As we hear your word, our heart is receptive to your word. There's no contradiction in our mind. There's no contradiction in this atmosphere. As your word is taught, clarity comes much more. And Jesus is glorified, even as we are edified. Amen. Glory to God. So, what I will do tonight is, we just have a week to prayer retreat. So, I'm going to quickly close on our teaching, Pneumaticus. Hallelujah. Pneumaticus. We hope to get back to it again in the course of the year. But not necessarily coming back to pneumaticals, but teachings that might be around what I've taught you. Amen. So you see, for what I've taught you, make sure you have your notes from, you go through your notes very well and get the messages when it's out. You know, make sure you listen to it well, because I'll further expand it. Amen. Expand on some of the narratives that we have there. Amen. So, we're looking at Pneumaticus. This is the 15th section. Amen. 15th section. I guess the longest on the series thus far. Matthew 28 from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth." Hallelujah. It is "Go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Hallelujah. So, we said this will be Matthew's summary of Jesus' instructions, and within the 40 days, he called the instructions, he actually said, the way he puts the instruction will be, he focused on the discipleship aspect of the instruction. Hallelujah. The discipleship aspect. You know, I've told us here that sometimes some people go to school, go to theology school, and they can get points to attack the Bible, to attack the scriptures. Some people have, that is their reason for going into theology school. Hallelujah. And they'll tell you, why is it that Matthew's the same instruction, right? Why does Matthew, Mark and Luke instructions seems to be different? You meet some of these people on your way, on your journey to evangelism. Actually, it's not different. Hallelujah. Remember, these will be instructions within 40 days. Hallelujah. What are you following me? Within 40 days. And you don't expect all of them to have the same instruction on their own. Because one, when Jesus was giving them the instructions, listen, that was not when they were jotting down scriptures. Hope you're following me. Amen. When Jesus was teaching them, was not when they had scriptures, when they were writing scriptures. Amen. They had their teaching notes, yeah. But that was not when they were writing down scriptures. Scriptures was written years after. Amen. Amen. The earliest was Mark. Mark was the first out of the synoptic to be written. And that was written about, if I'm not mistaken, about 25 years after the resurrection. About 25 years. So imagine, we can still remember what he had taught you in social studies. In DS2, when they taught you Homo sapiens, Homo erectus, I don't think I even remember how the teacher taught you. But these guys, they still had it in mind. How? Because that was what they were teaching all through. There was never a time they stopped teaching it. Did you see that? So all your sermons, where you have in their sermons, will be explanation of scriptures using the synoptic. Hope you're following me. Using the synoptic. So at a certain point, so they had the synoptic, first of all, in oral form, in their messages. Do you see that? So when they taught it in oral form, right? When they taught it in oral form, it will be
The life of Jesus is the explanation of scriptures.
Did you see that? Amen. So they will show you scriptures and show you it is fulfilled in the life of Christ.
Did you see that?
Now we call the resurrection the fullness of time.
Did you see that on Sunday?
Amen.
So that is how we explain it.
Before it was there written.
Now imagine.
Even those of us that are here, with what I've said is now.
If I open your notes, what you wrote is different from what another person is writing.
Amen.
What are you following me?
But it will be the same instructions.
How are you following that?
It will be the same instructions.
Glory to God.
So when Matthew says, Jesus said, make disciples. Now disciples, the word make disciples is an all-encompassing word, or I put it in a shorthand for all the instructions that Jesus said to them. Why would I say it's a shorthand? Because it includes both the entrance into discipleship and what happens in discipleship. That's why the first thing he said is teaching them. Did you see that? Now, what Mark did was Mark's focus. Mark 16, 4, verse 16. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
He that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Is that made disciples? Yes. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe.
So, you see, he focused on the same thing that Matthew focused on. But and then he went ahead to give a summary of the book of Acts.
Did you see that?
In my name, will cast out devils and speak with you. And said, after he had said this, he was to speak up into heaven. And they went forth and preached everywhere.
Did you see that?
So, preached everywhere. Is that in making disciples?
Yes.
But the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following.
So, listen to that.
So, he now brings in the book of Acts into his writing.
Hope you're following me.
God was walking with them in the preaching of the gospel.
I am with you always.
Hope you are saying that.
So this gives you, so what Mark makes you see is that the instruction to make disciples is not just an instruction, by the way. It is the believer's life.
Did you see that?
It is the believer's life.
It's the believer's focus.
Yeah, and they went everywhere.
You see, his focus was not on their job.
Did they have jobs?
Yes.
The focus was not on their pay.
Do they have pay?
Yes.
Jesus,
the focus was not on their income. Do they have income
in their casual businesses?
Yes.
Jesus, but that's not the focus.
The focus was not on the kind of clothes they put on.
How many are you hearing
me? Amen.
It was not on the kind of clothes they put on.
Did they put on good clothes?
Yes.
But you know what? What is the focus on?
Preaching the gospel.
Jesus, that?
So that becomes the primary assignment of believers in the earth.
The primary assignment of believers is what?
Preaching the gospel.
Primary.
So we have a primary duty in the earth.
We have a primary duty in the
earth. We have a primary assignment in the earth.
Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Trust the Lord. And the coming days we'll explore more on that. Hallelujah. That trust God that our whole life.
We'll see that our whole life is dependent on God.
Our whole being should be soaked into the gospel.
Amen. Myself inclusive and everybody here.
Our whole being. As you get about in your natural affairs.
Hallelujah. Don't lose sight of your purpose.
Okay, you're
right. Don't lose sight.
Is that right?
Sometimes we lose sight of it.
Yeah, sometimes we do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hello, believers from my assignment. So we're looking at pneumaticals and our focus is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts.
Now the word gift there is talent, as I said,
is that that concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I will not have you ignorant. Hallelujah. And we said this is Paul's response.
Paul is responding to what is happening in the church at Corinth. And the background will be 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 11. I said you shouldn't detach them from each other.
Hallelujah. Don't detach it.
Get together.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 11.
They have divisions, they have strife, they have divisions, strife, they had envy.
Hallelujah.
They had factions. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 17.
factions. They had, that is what is called heresies. Factions. So people now had different cliques in church.
Amen. Remember, I said it to pastors and leaders. Make sure you don't breed cliques amongst your members, among your leaders. Hallelujah. Among your members, amongst your cell leaders. Cell leaders too, make sure in your cell group you don't breed cliques. Hallelujah. My clique. Amen.
Begin to have a National Association of Ajawe State Goa. Breeding a clique.
No, you don't breed clique. Okay, I'm not saying that's a clique, but I'm just giving an example. National Association of Ajawe State just carry clique crew, or all of a sudden, you know, that can become a clique. Hope you know that.
Just after church, bam. Ajawa with Jawu.
All of a sudden, you just become a clique. You must be careful. Amen. So how about after meeting? Come on, relate to any other person. Not after meeting everybody.
All that we have, we're going. Here comes something. I already give you announcement. They already booking Uber.
Man, we close for today.
Bam, bam, bam.
That says, yeah, yeah. I can move. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Come on.
Go, go, go. Ensure you have, allow your brethren have time to interact with fellow believers.
Hallelujah.
After service.
Amen. Amen. Don't say, you know, you must break that barrier. Don't say we are just a wife. That means you just have a just a meeting. From here we just got a meeting to just a
meeting.
No!
Amen!
No!
You know, it can become a clique. So you must be careful of it. Amen. To the point that your brethren can no longer relate to the brethren in Mark, Luke, and Ajawes.
Did you see that?
Then we go, come on, no. Amen. How about God say, okay. No, before you go, go and say that. Sorry, everybody. Build that food and
ambition. Okay, brother. And you don't be sitting like God, like Lord of the Rings. They don't come and greet you, so I'm Lord of the Rings.
No!
No. You stand up and go, wait. What was that? What was your name? Oh, my name is... That's why they say, oh, my name is... You know? What do you do? You don't get to build that relationship. Can I have your number? Are you in the group? Okay, you know, you tell me, come on. Amen. You break the group. You break that gene of ping, ping, ping. You know, you can just be acting like iRobot and you don't know. And all of a sudden, you just become a normal phenomenon. Just finish listening.
That idea, you're having
meeting. Your door.
I saw a brother doing that on Sunday. Door.
Kr, 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 kr. Like you say, let's go. Kr, kr, kr. Come on.
Amen.
Break it.
You must be careful of it. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't breathe. Peace. Hallelujah. So they have factions in their midst. Factions. And what was supposed to unite them now caused more harm.
Wow. In their culture, listen, in their culture, food was supposed to bring, was supposed to show unity, but food now shows what? Division. Showing you that what unites us is not culture. Amen. What unites us is not culture. It's not our, it's not, amen.
What unites us, what you must see as the uniting factor for us is the Spirit. That was what Paul's emphasis was on, the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said, don't you know that your bodies, okay, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Did you see that? He called their gathering the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't you know? He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12. He said, we receive the Spirit. Hallelujah. No man knows the things of God except the Spirit of the man having in him. Say the things of God knows no man except the Spirit of God. How can we receive the Spirit of this over the things of God? So what will we receive is the Spirit? So the Spirit is the common factor we have, not culture. The Spirit is what binds us, not culture. What are you following me? The Spirit is what binds us, not culture.
not the culture or the norms in the world. Amen. Not the norms in the world. What binds us is the Spirit force. You must see our attitude, our culture should be the culture of the Spirit, not the culture of the environment. Hope you're following me. Because what was in their culture that was supposed to bound them together actually divided them the more. Hope you're following me. We saw all that. And Paul's response by saying, you are because this Spirit, amen, see, listen, stop. If the way you relate to the people outside the local church is more than the way you relate to the people in your local church, you are hypocrite. I thought to say that very well. Amen. Okay, follow me. If the way you call people outside is not the way you call the people in your local church, then there's something wrong with you. You have to check yourself again. Hallelujah. This is a family.
Yeah. I once said something to my friend years back. I said, you know, blood is thicker than water. I said, yes. I said, but it's something thicker than blood. He said, what? I said, the Spirit is thicker than blood.
The Spirit is is who we are.
Yeah, this was years back, though. And I wouldn't use that today because the Spirit is not...
Amen. But yeah, we know that the Bible said that to him. So it's something that binds closer than blood. That's the Spirit. That's what we have. And I was telling him that I said, Jesus, when he came to the disciples, didn't say, I am flesh and blood. He said, he said, touch me. He didn't say flesh and blood. Because there's something that unites us beyond blood.
That is Spirit.
Hallelujah. And that's true. The Spirit is what unites us beyond blood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what a local church should be. The Bible says they went from house to house breaking bread.
This is that they had that kind of communal life. It was a communal life. That's the life of the local church. That's the life of the local church. A communal life. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me.
Glory to God. Let's see a few things. So we said Paul's response will be what? The Spirit. And so when Paul says concerning pneumaticals, concerning spiritual, we say your mind goes to where?
Your mind goes to where? Genesis chapter 1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
You see that? You see that next verse there. He created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. And verse 3, God saw that it was good. The light was good, right? And it divided the light from darkness. You see that?
I would say, what is the order? First of all, it was, let there be light. I am light. Watch that. The order is for the Spirit.
You see that?
For God, that's why I said, we want to deal with all these things in the coming days.
Hallelujah. The order for us is the Spirit. It says, let there be light. In the face of chaos. In the face of tohu wabohu.
Amen. Remember I told you, tohu wabohu means not to have a purpose. To be in darkness, and that is also supernatural. The darkness in Genesis 1-2 is supernatural. And that is, that shows you that the man, there is nothing like a neutral. No.
You are either in the supernatural positive or supernatural negative.
There's nothing like neutral. No, there's nothing like being neutral.
Amen. There's no sitting on the fence.
So it says darkness was in the surface of the earth. And yet there is the heart of man.
Hallelujah. But what did God say? Is that God said, let there be light, the higher all, which is I am light. When you put that side by side with John chapter 8 verse 12, Jesus is telling you he is God of Genesis. Amen. I am the light of the world. I hope you're following me. I am the light of the world. So that means God offers himself as the answer to man's problem. That's what he says. One. Right? Then secondly, said God didn't stop at that. He said he divided light from darkness. Now that word to divide there means to put things in order.
Hallelujah.
He divides. So the first step is what the Spirit has the solution.
Then you begin to divide. Now I said, when you hear the word begin to divide, it's not you doing the division, but you discover what God has divided and walking in what God has divided.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
How can I use that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hope you're following. You have to discover how God has separated it. God separated light from darkness. So our duty is to see how God has done it and walk in the light.
Amen. So,
amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Glory, glory, glory. So, very vital. Something else we said is that, now we said God, so you discover that I'm going to walk in it, very vital. Then we also said, when you hear the word supernatural or the spiritual, heavens and the earth, the heavens will mean supernatural, spiritual, it will be within the earth. That's what we said, right? And we said, when you say it's within the earth, it therefore means, and I told us that the spirit of God is given to the man in Christ, right? So that he will be able to function in the supernatural effectively. Was that what we said? That he will be able to function in the supernatural effectively. That's why we have the spirit. So, when you see that, therefore, because you have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is given to you so that you function in the supernatural effectively, it therefore means that the supernatural is our realm. Hallelujah. The supernatural is our realm. The things of the Spirit are not alien to us. Because that's why we have the Holy Ghost. So the things of the Spirit are not alien to us. They are not. Say they are not alien to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Paul did was for them to see this fact. That the gathering of believer is the temple fact.
Heaven and earth. Hallelujah. The gathering of believers is a temple fast.
So Paul, when Paul also writes about heaven and earth to them in the temple, he also writes that an alien thing to them. He said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Amen. First of all, he has said for them to be born again is that they receive the Holy Ghost. Right? He has said you are together the temple. So you see that their gathering is called the temple. Their gathering is called heaven and earth. Do you see that?
Hallelujah. So it didn't teach it that something alien from them. Teaches it that what is within their realm. Or they are in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Another spirit dwells with us. With us. So what Paul is dealing with here is the practice, is the practicability of the spirit.
Now, I told you the practice of the Spirit is in our gathering.
Hallelujah. So, in Matthew 18, verse 20, look at what Jesus said there. Matthew 18, 20, quickly. Matthew 18, 20. About our gathering. He said, when two or three are gathered. When two or three are gathered. That is gathering.
He said, there are man in the midst of them. Did that? So, where will you find God? In our midst. In our gathering.
God is in our garden.
How do I say that?
God is where? God is in our garden. Very, very vital. God is in our garden. If God is in our garden, how I treat the garden and those that are in the garden is very vital. Because God is there, how I treat the garden and those in the garden becomes very vital. Paul will put it like this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. He said, I write that thou mayest know how to conduct thyself. Hallelujah. Just get them. Hallelujah. 3 verse 15. So if I tarry long, I write that thou mayest know how to behave thyself. Conduct thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Yeah, he was teaching about order from verses 1 of 1 Timothy 3. He was teaching order. He said, you know how to conduct yourself. Amen. So there is such a thing as Christian conduct. Hallelujah. It's how we must conduct ourselves in the gathering. It's how we conduct ourselves, how we behave. We have what is called believer's behavior when we are gathered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are hearing me. Glory to God. So, how do we behave ourselves? We began by saying that when we come together, what is the watchword when we come together?
What is the watchword when we come together? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7.
It is the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with us.
That is the word for our common good.
So that means the Spirit is our common good. So that means what is common in our midst is the Spirit. Hallelujah. The watchword is our common good. Our common good. When a believer gets to understand this fact, that what we gather together is our common good, it takes away that sense of selfishness, that attitude of selfishness. You know, there are some people who is all about me. No! Amen! When you understand that our gathering is for our common good, our common good, it takes away selfishness in how we relate and how we behave in the local church. How the things of the Spirit are also ministered. Hallelujah. If I know that I'm having a, let's say we're having a Holy Ghost meeting, and I know that the Spirit is our common good, you know what that means? It means I'm going to be free of the Spirit. I'm going to be free to express, right? Right? The gift of the Spirit in the meeting. But I know that many of us who've actually used this as the Holy Ghost meetings alone. But no, it's not just the Holy Ghost meeting alone. It's the mindset we must have coming into the gathering. Amen? It's the mindset we must have. It's the believer's total mindset when we are gathered for our common good. Okay, you hearing me? For our common good. So, I watch my brother. Amen. Amen. Remember, I will say as you hear, love your neighbor as yourself. Many people have twisted that word. It means love your neighbor as yourself. It means love your neighbor as yourself, no more than yourself. That's nonsense. Amen. Am I explaining that to you? That word love your neighbor as yourself. I say love your neighbor as yourself means love your neighbor as yourself, so not above yourself. So I cannot come and kill myself. It's satanic. It's not of God. I cannot come and die for anybody. No, that's not true. I should even Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say more than yourself. But who was the example of love? Jesus. And he died for you and I. And he's the example. That means if that is the example of love and he said love your neighbor as yourself, it therefore means that your definition is wrong. Amen. When he said love your neighbor as yourself, what it means there, it means that you should take away, how do you love yourself? Now take it away from yourself and put it on your neighbor. That's what it means. Amen. Glory to God. So what does that mean? Take away every form of selfishness. Take your love from yourself and put it on the floor. You will die for yourself to get what you want. Right? You go the extra mile for yourself to get what yourself wants. So go the extra mile for the brother, for the sister, to ensure that the brother and the sister get what they want. So take it away from yourself. So that word, common good, kills every form of selfishness in the local church. Kills it. You can't say you understand that and you are selfish. No! Amen! You can't say you understand. So a believer who is selfish does not understand common good. You take it away. That is why Paul would say, let brotherly love continue. I know people will tell you, your brotherly love there is filial love. It's not agape. Agape is God. Come on, stop nonsense. Amen! Stop nonsense. Amen! Some of those nonsense stuff. I know I've done that before. It is a greater love. That is the third dimension of love. That three dimension of love. Yeah. I've done that three dimensions of love. Well, today the apex is called agape. You move from feeling. How do you move?
No, just something. Amen.
So the first kind of love is affection. I forgot what that means. Affectionate love. You will have affection. You like the sister likes the brother. That is the lowest form of love. You have to step up to brotherly love. Then from brotherly love, you now move to agape. That is God's kind. Why stop this? I don't want to come for some people tonight. I'll deal with them in my class. Amen. Come back, church. Anyway, so, filio, agape, and the like. So stop that. Amen. Amen. There are no dimensions. So, when it says filio, it means you take it out of yourself and put on the brother.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And put on the garment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So we began asking the question, what do you have in the local church?
He said, we'll have the leadership and we'll have the presence, right?
So we look at our responsibility in walking in the spirit towards the leadership, right? Right?
Did I tell you that you are supposed to pray for your leaders? Did I tell you that? Pray for your leaders as part of your walk in the spirit. And your responsibility towards
the brethren, right? And the responsibility of the leadership towards the brethren. You must all walk in the spirit. We must all walk in the spirit concerning one another. Hallelujah. We must all walk in the spirit.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So we began looking at the gathering itself last week, and I hope to round up on this today. And the activities in the gathering.
Hallelujah, we're going to have a gathering that's visiting the gathering.
How you treat them shows whether you are walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh. How you treat the gathering? How do you treat the gathering? Look at Psalms 29. Look at what the psalmist says. Psalms 29, verse 9. We were here last week. Psalms 29, verse 9. It says, the voice of the Lord maketh their hind to cleave. He destroyed the forest. In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. In his temple does everyone speak of his glory. Hallelujah. So that means in the gathering, you must understand what happens in the gathering. In the gathering, we'll speak of his glory. We'll speak of his glory. So that means your confession about the gathering must never change. It is glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
Love that song. We see your glory. We shout your glory. We testify your glory, his glory all around. That's what the gathering is about.
We'll speak of his glory. So it goes along with us telling you, what was I saying? What was I feel my mouth with concerning the local church?
His glory.
Not mockery.
Amen.
Not mockery. See, not just the local church.
All of Christ's local church.
Not mockery. Not mockery. Some people like to listen to comedy that mocks the local church.
Don't. Amen.
I used to have people that I like them, but when I received that instruction, I stopped. I love somebody, I used to like one guy I call Aboki for Christ. But I can't listen to him. Because I can't be an Aboki for Christ. All you are doing is all about the church. You don't have any other goal. Is church.
No.
Amen. Don't be another. Not just because of your local church alone, but what God is doing in the earth through the local church. Don't. Amen. Don't. Don't be part of it. Like I also told you, don't even mock people who pray. Maybe God is not praying well. Don't be in that cycle. Is that like I told us, I said, I know, not just believe that, I now know. I know that in our generation, in this time, in this generation, we have a prophet of God. Amen. And that person is Pastor Shego Nointa. Take it to the market. He's God's prophet. He might not be prophet in his name, but he's God's prophet. Amen. Amen. I've not seen with my two optical eyes a prophet like him in the earth. I'm not exaggerating, I'm saying it. So therefore, if you know he's God's prophet, yeah? Amen? You know he's God's prophet. If you know he's God's prophet, to me, in recent times I began to carve a name for him, ban it. You know he's God's prophet. You will take God's words in his mouth serious. Instructions in his mouth. Amen. And he warned us that was 2 years back. Same joke with how people pray. We're preparing for WCC, and he said that. No. Shouldn't be found around him. Say that, die. No! Amen? You must speak of God's glory. What God is doing in the earth. And he's doing it through the local church. Amen? So don't be found. Not just about the local church, but the local church. Don't be found.
Not even say things like that is how they used to do. Don't try it. Hope you don't try it. Don't be found around it. Don't say that's how they used to do it. Some people say, hey, is it a bad story? You're not afraid. You're not afraid. You say pastors. You're not afraid. See, don't allow the madness in the social media to get into your brain. This madness there. I'm going to teach you some things after prayer retreat. Along social media life.
How to handle it.
Amen. How to use it. And to be effective in it. Don't allow that madness to get to you. Pastor, Nigerian pastor. There must be something wrong with your brain to say that. Especially when you're a believer. Hallelujah. What are you hearing me? Don't be found around that at all. Pastor. That pastor is for you. Look at David. David is an example in scriptures. Saul, everybody knew God had left Saul. Everybody knew that God is no longer with Saul. But yet, David was he never said anything wrong about Saul. He's not someone to emulate. Even when somebody came with a gift, he didn't kill Saul. Funny enough, David knew he didn't kill Saul. He did not kill Saul. He came and said, I saw the man of God. We all know that it's you that God has told him. You start with psyching. All those psyching that comes like prophecy. You will fly and you will hide. Oh yeah, your wings is spreading. Yeah, you will spread and spread. Yeah. You are not. Though you are in, but there's an outing. Oh yeah, there's a special call for an outing. Oh yeah. Okay. And what the Lord is doing with you, with this and around, in that place and in that location, you don't want to call the Lord, because they know you are, he is around, he's an all. There's an all. Are you going to be feeling ororo on your head? Are you normal?
Monday.
Maybe. And you now have a dream. It links to the world. It links to the world. I saw myself elevated.
You have entered one chance.
Your dream is a product of your thoughts. Amen. He came with that kind of good news. He said, and the man of God that I saw him, he was not begging me to kill him, and I took, I didn't waste time. I killed him. And David said, I love the way Pastor Chris Oya Kilome will put it. He said, David, he put it like this. He said that when he was there. He said, and David asked him, who are you? He said, I'm an Amalekite. A question David had asked him before. But he missed the question. David was asking, Who the hell are you? And you're not afraid to put your hand on the Lord's anointing. He knew it was the next king, but yet he still called a man who he knew God had left the Lord's anointing. You must not be found with God in your mouth. Don't be found. Come here, don't be found with wrong words in your mouth concerning the local church or concerning who God is using. Amen. See, I'm not careless in my speech. Amen. I should be able to stay outside, which I am able to, that the members of my local church will not at all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I remember one time, during this COVID-19 stuff, and is it COVID-19? COVID-19 stuff, then enter. People were carrying placards, and I said something about the local church. That local church is not where you come and carry placards. So I thought that there were people carrying placards in some churches. I said no. The role of the local church has nothing to do with carrying placards and doing solidarity. And somebody wrote and said, I know what I'm going to say now. His church members are going to come after me. Somebody that was my classmate in the university wrote that. And I was with someone and I told the person, bet you me, I'm not going to tell a member of my local church anything. None of them will comment on it. They will see it, they will not talk. Because I know who the people I'm breathing. They will not come and fight with their pastor. Let me fight with my pastor. I knew some years back, some people like beat him with it. But I know he has done it. No, he has done it before. Ah, he has done it. He has done it. This he has done it. He's a daily devotion. Somebody did not preach this way. We have to type it out.
When I tell you, tell the person, don't know, not tell you, fine.
Ah, oh, ah, ah.
He thought we were going to hold his money. I do not know. So now we're going to fight. This is not true. We're going to fight. He was betting. We're going to beat the guy black, black. I know, I was trying to lie. I couldn't even say a word. I was still trying to imagine the whole thing. He almost beat the guy black and blue.
Partner.
I'm talking about 2013.
2013. Yeah, he was the battler. Amen. So battle has been come yesterday. It's been consistent. It's a consistent nature. Amen. Amen. How do you treat the local church? So you must speak well of the local church. You must speak of what God is doing in the local church. Hallelujah. What about you saying words like, my local church is growing. I'm in a growing and expanding local church.
We are growing and we are reaching here. Hallelujah. You should believe in the vision then. Don't say, you don't want to move to my church.
No!
Don't say that. I've never said that. Amen?
No, we're an expanding one. We're reaching the nations.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You say that. Look at Psalms 122. Look at the psalmist David there. Look at what he said in Psalms 122. He says, verses 1. Are you there? He says, and I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. Hallelujah.
Let us go into the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. Did you see that? Did you see that attitude? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the temple of the Lord. Is that what I got me? That's what I got it. Let us go into the assembly of believers. Right? So the temple of the Lord. Into the family of the Lord. Into heaven and earth. Hallelujah! Amen. I was glad.
That's an attitude you must have. How do you look up to Sunday service? How do you look up to midweek service? How do you look up to it? How do you expect it? How do you plan for it? How do you look up to prayer meeting? How do you look up to cell meeting, to PCU meeting? How do you look up to it?
You say, oh, another
no! I was glad!
Hallelujah!
How about us? You are prepared as though as I get to meet and bless.
Before you come out, some people won't pray, they want us to come and pray together. No!
Hallelujah!
How about you are coming with that same fire? Go to God and I get to meet you today and bless.
My life is changed, I receive rebuke, correction, instruction, and righteousness. I'm better.
Hallelujah. And we're furnished today. As our teachers, I receive the word of clarity. Clarity comes to my mind and my heart.
No. You know you are man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm further enlightened today. I'm further strengthened today. Oh yes, my hands are made strong as our teachers today.
That's how you speak concerning the meeting. Concerning the God. You must be readily fed up for believers.
You don't get prepared for believers meeting in believers meeting. You get prepared for believers meeting before the meeting. So how is your attitude towards the meeting?
Do you know that when you speak of the meeting often before the meeting, you will come late for it?
People don't know that.
It's because you didn't talk about the meeting.
You didn't speak about
it. See, our God is a speaking God. You must never take that away. He's a speaking God. Hope you're having me.
Never forget that. I might have taught you that years back. Voice activated system.
Never forget that. Our God is a speaking God. And we are his children. So before you go for a meeting, you speak about it.
You say, God will want to do something 10 years time. We'll be talking about it from now.
That's God. We're talking about it from now.
Glory to God. How about you? You get to prepare for me?
We're having glorious time. Oh, today is Thursday. I have another time to receive from my pastor. I receive today.
My heart is ready. You're talking about this. You don't know when you're talking about the meeting. You have a meeting in your mind. And you slept up.
No! You
can't know when you are
because
you are ready for the meeting.
Before the time. Not 5 minutes of the meeting. Say, okay, just let me just close my eyes more.
No!
Hallelujah. You are there before time.
but then 30 minutes before time, you are seated down.
Hallelujah. Because you are ready. You are going through your notes. Pastor is going to teach me today. My heart is going to be full of
enlightenment as regards these things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's how to prepare.
I was glad when they said to me. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So that means that is an attitude we must have. Ready attitude for believers' meetings.
Prayer meeting, evangelism.
How about evangelism too?
You don't wait until we come to pray for you. Go, no! You're already talking about evangelism. A week to the evangelism.
Oh yes.
Next week is evangelism. As I go, I will have multiple harvest of souls. I will speak to them. They will come in their numbers. I will speak to them. I will take over the whole city, a whole street. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. And you are praying concerning me. No heart is there. There's no way on the day of the evangelism you will sleep off or you will say you forget. People that you see that forget about a meeting, to me, let me tell you what that registers. What registers in my head is that you never prepare for the meeting. That's why you forget about it. If you have it in your mind, if you have it in your mind, you will not forget about it. If you have it in your mind, you will forget about it. All right, let me put meetings in your mind. Put it in your mind. How do you put it in your mind? Talk about it. Talk about it.
Hallelujah.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
The Bible says God remembered things like God remembered Isaac. God remembered Jacob. God remembered Abraham.
It was not like God forgot. No. He meant that God was talking about it.
God remembered. Not that God forgot. He remembered like he forgot. And I remember. Oh, the one that I told Abraham. No. To remember there is the word to speak about. So God was speaking about them.
God was talking about them. We find that in Job. God speaks about his people. God speaks about his children. So therefore, we must learn to put our meetings in our mouths.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I mean, I was meant to put believers' meetings in my mouth, in all my lips, in my words.
Hope you hear me.
I put the meeting in my words. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Hebrews 10 verse 23 to 25, it says, do not neglect, 25 exactly, so do not neglect the gathering, the assembly of ourselves, as many are in the habit of doing it. Hallelujah. Say, do not neglect. That word to neglect means to leave. To leave. To abandon. Say, do not forsake. Do not neglect, do not forsake, do not abandon the gathering. You know, a gathering that you speak about, you won't abandon it. Hallelujah. A gathering you talk about, you won't abandon it. So do not abandon. Do not leave the gathering of ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the attitude of abandoning, I have this in my notes, the attitude of abandoning the gathering of saints is not God, is not of God at all. It's not of God, as God does not sponsor it at all. Hope you hear me. God does not sponsor leaving the gathering. God doesn't sponsor a departure out of the gathering. God doesn't sponsor it. Hallelujah. It is of the devil. What is not of God is of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me. What is not inspired by God is inspired by the devil. There is no sitting on the fence. I'm going to show you that right now. Hallelujah. There is no sitting on the fence. Hallelujah. A man who doesn't attend the gathering of believers is not fulfilling God's task in the earth. Okay, hear me.
You can open the window. Look, leave that place. Open the door.
Amen. A man who doesn't attend the gathering of believers is not fulfilling God's task in the earth. Rather, he is submitting to the will of the devil. I am not saying it sugarcoat. You are a man who doesn't attend believers' gathering. He is submitting to the devil. It's not a lookalike. That man is submitted to the devil. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
in Acts of Apostles chapter 5 verse 3, look at Acts 5 verse 3. Peter in Acts 5 3 called lying to one another. Acts 5 verse 3. Ananias and Sapphira, or Sapphira. Acts 5 verse 3. It says, but Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled her heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You see, lie to the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Lie to the Holy Ghost. He lied to the presence. Lie to Peter in the presence. Peter said, you are lying. He lied to the Holy Ghost. He called it Satan filled your heart. You see that? Satan filled your heart. Glory to God. So lying to brethren in a garden is called Satan, is a work of Satan. It is the inspiration of Satan, it's not of God. How much more are the gathering of the saints? Gathering of the saints. Even if you think you have a cogent reason in the natural. This is so cogent that I didn't come. See, you must always make effort. Hope you're hearing me. Always make effort to be around in believers' meetings. Make effort. Make effort. Let it be that you make all your, and it is clear that you make all your efforts. Make sure you make every effort to be around for believers' meetings. Don't be easy. If you give yourself an excuse this week, you give next week. And it can never, ever, ever be a fault. Never! Look at how Paul equated it. Paul equated restriction of not being around in the gathering of believers to Satan. Hallelujah! He did! He couldn't come around in the gathering of believers, and he said it was Satan that withheld him. Amen. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Quickly, let's read through 1 Thessalonians 2. We begin to quote. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verses 18, sorry. 18. It says, wherefore, we would have come to you. Do you see that? Even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Do you hear that? It says Satan hindered us. Here, when it was Satan, it was referring to opposition, right? We were referring to opposition that made him not to come around. But yet, he brings in that supernatural being of the devil. Did you see that? He brings in that supernatural being of the devil. It says it is Satan walking in the scene. So that means that opposition wasn't with it as natural. They just normal. No! Satan is behind it. Oh, that's a seed. Hallelujah. Satan is behind it. Satan is behind it. Satan is behind it. Satan is behind it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must do all within your best to make sure you are around for believers' meetings. In Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, yes, we'll find Satan's activity. In Genesis 3 verses 1. You find Satan's activity. Genesis 3 1 quickly. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field, which the Lord hath made. And he said unto the woman, has God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden? Did you see that? Amen. And the instruction God gave in chapter 2. Satan came with doubts. He came to oppose God's word. He came to oppose God's word. He brings in doubts concerning God's plan. He brings in doubts. He tries to cloud your mind of what God is doing. He brings in doubts. He brings in convenience many a times. Convenience. Oh, I'm just doing it in comfort. No, he brings in comfort. You see, you must not be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. Amen. Amen. So what did he tell Eve here? She had thought they shouldn't eat. He came directly for that one word that God said. That God spoke of heaven and earth. He came for it. God will bring doubt, to bring comfort, convenience. Because he knows you don't serve God in convenience. Bring convenience. Bring comfort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's plan is heaven and earth. The temple, the local church, and that was what Satan came for. The local church in all the earth. The temple! So therefore, since we know what God's plan is in the earth, heaven and earth, local church in all the earth, right? Right? Can I hear people say, God's plan, he said, yeah, I know what God is doing in the earth.
He said, God is doing it in
the earth. Hallelujah. Raising strong local churches. That's what God is doing. Why from Genesis? Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Local churches, strong ones. So if we know this is God's plan, and we know Satan comes from God's plan, that means we will also know what Satan's work is in the earth. Isn't it? So we know what God's work is in the earth. What is Satan's work in the earth? Will be to make people stay away from the local church. What was Satan's work? It will be to take people away from the local church. There's some people born again, talking, only go see. No, okay, I can't call them to see that. But don't call them, just speaking tongues, that one will hurt you. Just speaking tongues, I'm a child of God. And yet you can't find them in church. You can't find them in church. That is what Satan is doing. Satan is keeping people away from the local church. That's what Satan is doing. Keep people away. So when you find yourself having a comfort of not coming to the local church, you know, Satan is not just got an estate on you. You are fulfilling his desires in the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, Satan has no estate on me. Hallelujah. Nowadays, you hear people say things like, the church is not in a building. People say that. The church is not in a building. The church is in my house. How stupid. Where is the church is in my house? You, church. You know what is the church? So I saw someone put a thing, I said the church has left the building, the church now inside here. That is, no matter how nice that seems to look, that, remember, that is taking, drawing beyond the boundaries. Hope you know that. I'm going to pick up that very soon. Amen. How about to stretch things beyond the boundaries? What are the boundaries of God's word? What if the church is not in the building? The church has left the building, it's not in my house. What nonsense is that? That is Satan's scheme. The Bible says the church is not in the building. The church is not in the building. But the church meets in the building. That makes the building the church. Right? God is that enough. They when they gather for holy ground. So they gather in that place, make that place strong. So stop talking nonsense. Well, they don't. It is not in our heart, so that you don't go to church. Let me do an online study. I was telling someone just today that I attend Avesta but online. I said, I don't understand. How do you attend Avesta? They say online. They say, God, I can't be driving, I can't be taking Uber. It's too expensive. I say, you are not okay. You went small, you'll be mental. I tell you say that. You can't be entering Uber to God. That is too expensive.
Sure, alright.
Amen. How can you be normal like that? Another person is going to listen to this message one day. The people are going to ask what I'm talking about. Why you say that? Why you are not wearing it? Why you say that? That's what Satan is saying. You want to see that you're going to have Satan's got an estate for this. Say this thing. Amen. Don't say that. You don't see that. Glory to God. Never be found being on point one in the local church. Never be found. Never be found skipping local, skipping church meetings. Never be found. See, there's nobody that cannot give an excuse for not being around in church today. If I want to give you an excuse for not coming to church today, I will give you excuses. Just like I can give you excuses. I can. I left everything I was doing in the office, close it and to start coming to church. Anybody can give excuse. I can enter the road 15 minutes to 6 and tell you there's traffic. Don't you know? Don't you know? Everybody can give a seat and say, ah, but the traffic is so much.
Ah, is that the first time you're passing there?
Stop fucking nonsense.
Amen.
It has got to the point, you can't use traffic to do excuse for coming to late in Lagos State. So, why did I use traffic to do excuse for coming late to church? Hallelujah. Don't give yourself an option. Because you'll be falling for Satan's scheme. Open your enemies. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. The church is what God is doing in the earth. And not to be in the local church. Not to be in the local church is not to be in the local church live. Not online. Online, nobody pastors you online. Online is not a local church. Online is not, if I let me put it like this, online church, if there's any word like that. Because the very, when you use the word online church, is a tautology. The art I call tautology is a misnomer. Sorry, it's not even a tautology. It's not even close to a tautology. It's a misnomer. Because the very use of the word church shows a physical gathering. Church shows a physical gathering. So when you put online physical gathering, how is that? How is that? Hope you're following me. Online has never been, it is not, and would never be. I'm talking into thousands and millions of years to come. Even after we've left this scene, will never be, no matter how global the world becomes. God will always raise the soldiers that will fight that. Will never be what the church is about. Online has never been. It will never be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Very vital. That implies I must always be around in the local church. As we close, let me just chip in these few ones. In the local church, we receive instructions. Those instructions will be supernatural. Those instructions will be supernatural instructions. The activities of the local church are supernatural. Activities are supernatural. Prayer meetings, evangelism, winning souls. No, that is structure. The instructions in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, they are all supernatural instructions. I hope you know that. So it must not be found in opposition to those instructions. Must never be found. Must not be found murmuring in the local church. Murmuring in itself is Satan getting a hold of you. Murmuring in itself is sin. It's not a kind of sin, it is sin. It's an attitude of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope this has to close. Not found in the activities of the local church, like discipleship, evangelism, prayer, will be an error. Will be an error. It's not of God. It is Satan's innovation. Satan's innovation. Satan's innovation.
I used to say this to my friends back then in the university. I would say it like this. I used to have a couple of them, especially those in the university, they don't like going to church on Sundays.
So when I go to church and come back, I usually will ask them, the time I went to church to serve the Lord, I usually will ask them, what did you use that time to do? I usually will ask them that. So they would just sleep off. I said, you had wasted that hours of your life. And you think it's time is something that goes and doesn't come back. A wise man redeems the time. And how do you redeem the time? You redeem the time in your service to the Lord.
That's how you do things that you make to buy back time. To buy back time. Buy back time in your service to God. Hallelujah. To buy it back. How do you redeem your time? Serve the Lord. That's who a wise man is. I say it and I say it often. You don't achieve. I say it often. Then I try to tell them, those who know me in secondary school, in the university, and those who know, who have been around since years back, will know that I always say, whenever you skip a Christian meeting, that hour you're not there is a wasted time. No matter what you fail to achieve, it's a wasted time. The useless time. So don't have a wasted year. Don't have wasted time. Don't have wasted minutes, hours. Don't waste them. Hallelujah. Be around. Don't say, I was sick. I've taught you. Even if you're not having a healing service, you can come around and the word of God has been taught and you get healed. Yes. Because God is in our midst. Hallelujah. Learn something, isn't it? Learn something? Let's be on our feet.